All right, let's open our Bibles this morning to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 5. Mark's Gospel, chapter 5, for the message this morning. Mark, chapter 5. Brother Caleb told me he had to go home. He's about to freeze to death up here. Because it got a little chilly on Wednesday and Thursday, so he was about to freeze to death. Yes, he was. He did a great job. He sure did. It was good to just hear the word of God, to be able to sit back here and listen, and you know, it was great. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it thoroughly. All right, Mark chapter 5, verse 1. I'm going to read an amazing story here. This is the maniac of Gadara. That's what he's called, the maniac of Gadara. And I am going to entitle the message this morning, The Man Who Wore Chains. The Man Who Wore Chains. Now, I want you to picture yourself in this story, all right? Let's just let our minds, our imaginations just go wild this morning. And I want you to picture, as I read this, I want you to picture you're there and you're watching what is happening here. All right, let's look at verse 1. It says, and they came over unto the other side of the sea. Now, this sea is the Sea of Galilee. Now, the Sea of Galilee is a large body of water, but it's longer than it is wide. All right, you can stand on the banks, looking east to west or west to east. You can clearly see across. Now you can't stand at the north and look south and actually tell where the water runs out into the Jordan River. You have a pretty good idea, but it is a little bit long down through there. But east and west, or west to east, it's easy to stand on one shore and see the other. No problems at all. And so here are the disciples with the Lord Jesus, and you'll remember back at the end of chapter 4, they were out in the ship that they're in right here when they come to shore. They're out in the ship, and a storm came up, this huge storm. And the Lord Jesus was asleep in the boat, and they woke him from his sleep and said, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And when the Lord stood up, he said to them, O ye of little faith. And then the scriptures tell us that the Lord Jesus lifted his hand at the sea and he said, Peace, be still. And the moment he said that, the storm died down. The water became as glass. Every time I've ever been on the Sea of Galilee, it looks like glass. I mean, I've just been privileged to be there when the winds were calm. And it is a beautiful place. It is a beautiful place to see. Now, they are now going over to the east side of the Sea of Galilee. And when you get over to the east side, it just begins to go up. You're going up into a mountainous area. That region is beautiful. It's just mountains, and it's as green as it can be, and it's just beautiful. But a little ways up was a little town called Gadara, and Gadara was an interesting little place. Nobody knows exactly where it was, but we know basically where it was because of the description in the scriptures. And so so what happened was, as they got across on the other side, this fella comes out of the graveyard. Imagine a graveyard. Now, it's back in Bible times, a graveyard was normally a place where there were sometimes hand dug tombs, and sometimes they were just little caves, and people would take their loved ones and put them in a box and put them inside of that cave. Now, these tombs had a problem in Gadara. And the problem was, there was this crazy man who was demon possessed, and he hung out in the tombs. And I don't blame anyone for not wanting to go there, would you? I mean, I'm going to be honest with you. I wouldn't want to go down there and mess with him. And so let's look at what happened here, all right? Look at verse 1. It says, and they came over unto the other side of the sea into the country of the Gadarenes. All right, now, here's what happened. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had this his dwelling among the tombs. Okay, he lived there among the tombs. Man, he'd have to be possessed, wouldn't he? Because I don't know that anybody would do that naturally, but he did, and he had his dwelling among the tombs. Verse 3, and no man could bind him. No man could bind him. No, not with chains. So imagine this fellow, folks. In verse 4, it says, because that he had been often bound with fetters, with chains, with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and fetters broken in pieces. Neither could any man tame him. So he's a violent individual, and he's very strong. Verse 5, it says, and always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. But when he saw Jesus, notice this, when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshiped him. Now, what motivated him to do this were the demons that lived in this man. This man did not run of his own volition and fall down and worship Jesus. He may have not even known who Jesus was, but the demons inside of him knew who Jesus was. And the Bible says that when he saw Jesus, he ran and worshiped him and cried with a loud voice and said, what have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High? Now, how did those devils know that? They knew that because they were in heaven before Satan fell, and they knew that Jesus was the Son of the Most High God. So, read on. It says, I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. For he said unto him, come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. And he asked him, what is thy name? So Jesus asked the spokesman for these demons, what is thy name? And he answered, saying, my name is Legion, for we are many. We are many. And he besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. Now there was nigh unto the mountains a great herd of swine feeding, a great deal of hogs. Now, I don't know how many a great number is, but there was a great number of swine feeding on the mountainside. And the devils besought him, saying, send unto us send us into the swine, that we may enter into them. And forthwith Jesus gave them leave. In other words, he allowed them. And the unclean spirits, plural, went out and entered into the swine. And I want you to notice here that the swine had more sense than this man had. Because we read that when the unclean spirits entered into the swine, the herd violently ran down a steep place into the sea. They were about 2,000 and were choked, in other words, drowned by the sea. And they that fed the swine fled and told it in the city and in the country, and they went out to see what it was that was done. And they came to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion sitting and clothed in his right mind. And they were afraid. All right, now notice, folks, here is a guy who is possessed with devils, but yet we read that he lifted up his eyes and he saw the Lord Jesus. And when he did, he came running. And when the Lord Jesus helped this man and gave him his sanity back, got the devil out of him, then what happened? He's sitting in his right mind. I love that. That is such a beautiful picture of when a person trusts the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. I don't know about you, but boy, I got saved when I was 16 years of age. And when I got saved, all of a sudden, it's like the light shone a little brighter. All of a sudden, it was like the world was just a different place. And do you know why it was? It was because of what God had done in my heart. Everything was better. And that's what happens when you come to the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, well, Pastor, I've just got all these problems. I know someone that'll help you with those problems. You say, well, Pastor, I'm just burdened down with life. I'm just burdened down. I don't know where to turn. I got a suggestion for you. Why don't you turn to the Lord Jesus? And you will find what you're looking for. I know I did. I found what I was looking for. And I guarantee you, you'll find what you're looking for as well. All right, let's pray. And then I want to speak to you on this man who wore chains. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, thank you so much for your love and grace. And Father, I pray you'll bless as I try to make some application through this event that happened. There was a real man from Gadara, and this real man was possessed of devils, But Father, you sent your Son, the Lord Jesus, right in his pathway. And lo and behold, the Lord Jesus was able to do for him what no one else could do. And I pray you'll help us to see that the Lord wants to do for us what no one else can do. So bless your word and touch our hearts. In Jesus' precious name, we ask it. Amen. All right, I want you to look carefully now at this passage of Scripture. There are some interesting things here that I want to call to your attention. The story was told of four boys who were on a camping trip. And they set out to hike, and then they were going to spend about 3 or 4 days in the wilderness, just camping and enjoying their world around them. And about midnight, on the first night, a storm rolled up, a terrible, terrible thunderstorm. And they remembered that just about a half a mile back, they had passed a farmhouse that was setting off against the mountainside. So they quickly left their tents and ran back as quickly as they could before the storm hit with a vengeance. And they found a barn, and they went inside this barn for safety. And while they were in there, the storm just pounded and pounded. But as it began to weaken, they thought for sure they could hear something that disturbed them greatly. It was the sound of a man, excuse me. There you go. It was the sound of a man who was screaming at the top of his lungs. Every time the thunder would roar, this man would scream, and as it died down, they were able to hear clearly the moaning and the groaning of this man. They knew it was a man's voice. But they finally, it all calmed down, and they were able to get some sleep. The next morning, they stepped outside the barn, and the farmer was there. He came to them, and they thanked him for letting them stay in his barn. And one of them said, "We kept hearing this screaming. What was that screaming sound we kept hearing? It's like somebody was just all upset, and they were just screaming and roaring to the top of their lungs." And the farmer said that it was his father who had a mental breakdown, and the father was not his normal self, and it was especially loud whenever a storm came. That storm just would set this man off, and until it was quiet, he would yell and moan and groan along with the storm. And the farmer said, "I'm so sorry that you gentlemen had to hear that." Now, folks, listen. There were two storms that night. There was the storm of nature, and then there was a storm of human nature. And that story, I always think of that when I read this passage of Scripture, because you see there are two storms in our text as well. Back in chapter 4, at the end of the chapter, there is the story about how the Lord Jesus calmed the storm that when they were out on the Sea of Galilee. These men were professional fishermen, but yet they thought they were going to die. They thought they were going to drown because of the raging storm. But the Lord Jesus stood up and simply with the word that he spoke, calmed that storm and settled that storm in a minute. But then in chapter 5, there is another storm. There is a storm of human nature, just like in the story that I told you. And yet, that was no problem for the Lord Jesus either. Folks, I'm here to tell you that the Lord Jesus Christ, God's only begotten Son, has the power to save any soul who will cry out to him. There is absolutely no case too difficult for the Lord Jesus to take care of. He'll handle them all. In my 40, a whole bunch years of being in the ministry, I have seen the Lord get a hold of some strange cases. I have witnessed the Lord do some miraculous things. There was a Hindu pandit, a holy man in training down in Guyana, South America. And I preached in a week-long revival meeting down in Guyana. And this 18-year-old man was walking towards his home. And as he was going past, he could hear the service inside. And he stopped and stood outside and listened while I preached. The next night, this fella came and stood in the doorway. He stood in the doorway. The next night, this fella sat on the back row. He came up to me after the service and explained to me that he was a holy man studying for his Hinduism. And he said that I am interested in this man you call Jesus. I said, do you know him? And he said, no, but I'm learning about him through you. I gave him a New Testament and said, go home and start at the beginning of this New Testament and read about Jesus. He went home, took that New Testament with him, and read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John before he went to bed that night. He was so excited about this miracle-working man. Because, you see, that's what he was studying to be able to do. Miracles to persuade people that his religion was the right way. And that fella came back the next night, and instead of sitting on the back row, he sat on the front row. And he did not take his eyes off of me the entire time that I preached. When the invitation was given, he stepped out. He said, I want this Jesus in my heart. And I was able to kneel down by the church pew and take the Bible and show this man how Jesus could save him. He then stood up and he said, my family will kill me now. I said, are you being literal? Or are you being figuratively? What do you mean your family will kill you? He said, my family will kill me. I have changed gods and they won't like it. And I said, are you sure? He said, I am positive they will kill me. Now, this young man, I gave him my card, and this young man would write me regularly for years. He wrote me regularly and told me of how the Lord was using him. You see, the Lord can use anyone, even a Hindu pandit. And I want you to notice a couple of things about this man who wore chains. There's a couple of things we can see in his life. First of all, I want you to notice the sinner's place. The sinner's place. This fella was, if you look at verse 6, he was afar off. Do you see that? Look at verse 6. But when he saw Jesus, afar off. And that's the way every unsaved person is in their relationship with the Lord Jesus. You're far off. You're far away. Our Savior wants you to be close to Him, though. And so I read a preacher. I read a message that a preacher gave this week. It was an old sermon, but it was I try to read sermons all the time. I try to read them just for my own edification. And when I was reading this sermon, he made this statement. He said, "Immeasurable is the distance between God and a sinner. It is as wide as the gulf between sin and holiness, between death and life, and between heaven and hell." Folks, listen, I'm not trying to be unkind to you. I'm telling you what the Bible says. And sometimes it hurts a little bit when God tells us the truth. But the truth of the matter is, if you're here today and you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you are afar off from the Lord. And here is this man. He is afar off. He's far away. What is the sinner's place? Well, listen very carefully to the Bible, would you? The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14, but the natural man, that's an unsaved person, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them. Why? Paul said, because he is spiritually discerned. Spiritually discerned. In Psalm 58 in verse 3, the psalmist David said this. He said, "The wicked are estranged from the womb. They go astray as soon as they are born, speaking lies." You know, one of the biggest shocks that I ever had in my life was when I realized that my little baby boy, who couldn't even speak yet, was a liar. You say, well, how? He couldn't even speak. How do you know he's lying? Here's how I know. I was sitting at the table, the kitchen table, and I was babysitting. Karen was working, and I'm sitting there. He's in a little chair, and she said, he's going to sleep for a while, and then he'll wake up and he'll be hungry. And so I said, okay. So he slept, and then the phone rang. When the phone rang, he jumped like this. I thought he was coming plumb out of that seat. And I got up and answered the phone. And when I looked back at him, he was sitting there watching me, and he was smiling. Just a little guy, just tiny, in this little chair. And so I hung up the phone, and I went over, and I started talking to him, and I was tickling him under his arm, and he's laughing. And so I went back to getting my sermon ready for Sunday. And when I looked away and looked down and picked up my pen to resume, all of a sudden he let out this scream that I thought somebody had bitten him on his backside. I mean, he squalled. And I thought, oh my goodness. And I jumped up and I unstrapped him and I got him out. And as soon as I got him out, he quit crying. I held him up in my arms and I patted him and I said, it's okay, it's okay, it's okay. Just go back to sleep. And so he kind of started, I was rocking him up and down. He started to drift a little bit. And when I thought he was asleep, I put him back in the chair and all of a sudden an elephant stepped on his toe. Start screaming again. I pick him up, he quits. I lay him down, he screams. I pick him up, he quits. I laid him down and I said, you are a little liar. There wasn't anything wrong with him. He just wanted Dad to hold him. You see, but that's how we all are. We are born sinners. You don't have to train a child to do wrong. They know how to do wrong. You have to train them to do right. That's why Solomon said, train a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he won't depart. You have to train them to do the right thing. Some folks give more care and training to their dogs than they do their children. You're welcome. That was free. That didn't even cost you a dime. All right, but here it is, folks. We're sinners. That's the point. We're sinners. There is just absolutely nothing that explains the way we are other than the fact that innately we are sinners. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Jeremiah said in chapter 17, and verse 9, he said that we are, the heart is, our hearts are desperately wicked. And who can know them? Well, God knows them. God knows them. And you know, it's interesting. The longer you're in the ministry, the more you realize how surprising the despicable hearts of men can be. Man, I've seen things that absolutely I never thought I would see in my life. But I've seen them. Why? Because the heart is desperately wicked. That's why. That's why. In Ephesians 2, Paul was talking about how unsaved folks are aliens to God. And they're aliens because of their sin. And so, folks, here's a man who became enslaved to sin. And that sin possessed him, and that sin chained him, and that sin bound him and separated him from everybody else. And that is a beautiful picture, perfect picture of what a sin does to an unsaved man or woman or teenager. It separates us from the love of Christ. I mean, there is nothing sadder than a wreck or a ruin. There is nothing sadder than a house where toil and sweat were involved in the building of that house, but where a disaster struck and maybe a fire and it burned it to the ground and it's all just wasted now. There's nothing any sadder than destruction. And yet we, as sinners, need to realize that sin is going to bring us to destruction. This man was afar off. He was separated from everyone else, chained and bound. That's what sin does to you. I have tried to win folks to Christ through the years, and you can just see there. Brother Caleb talked about good and bad on your shoulder. I've seen the good and the bad arguing. I've seen the good saying, you need to trust the Lord as your Savior. And then I've seen the bad say, oh, you better not do that. You better not do that. And it's a constant struggle. You say, well, Pastor, which one wins? Whichever one you feed the most, that's who wins. It's whichever one you feed the most. So understand this, folks. Unsaved sinners are separated from God. But here's the good news. God has made a bridge. And God has made a way for us to be reconciled unto him. I want you to picture this. Over here is the unsaved sinner. Over here is the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I know you're going to say, boy, you got that one right. But I'm going to be sin. Don't laugh. I'm going to be sin. What am I doing? I am separating between man and God. But now here's what Jesus did. Watch this, folks. The Lord Jesus came to this earth and he went to a cross. And that cross is the bridge that takes the hand of God and takes the hand of the sinner and unites the two together through the grace and the goodness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, thank God for grace. Amen. Amen. So, the Lord Jesus is the bridge. Now, second thing I want you to notice here, I want you to notice the sinner's privilege. The sinner's privilege. Now, again, I go back to verse 6. Look at it. It says, when he, what's the next word? Saw. When he saw. Well, who did he see? The right person, that's who he saw. When he saw Jesus. Folks, don't you think that others had tried to help this man? Well, I do. I do. I'm thinking about maybe his wife and his children back at home. I'm thinking about his mother and his father. I'm thinking about maybe a brother or a sister. Don't you think they wanted to help their loved one? Well, of course they did. And I figure they tried. But nobody could help this man until the Lord Jesus came along. Oh, thank God for his grace and goodness, folks. Thank God for the Lord Jesus who comes at just the right time. And so he comes out of the tombs and he saw Jesus. He saw the right one. That's the sinner's privilege. You see, folks, God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. You know what that word all means? I looked it up this week just to make sure I got it right. You know what all means? All. Everybody. Yeah. For the Lord Jesus came so that every single one of us could go across that bridge that he built for us when he died on the cross of Calvary. I'm telling you, folks, there's not a person the Lord Jesus cannot save. There is not a one. The Lord can save anyone who will come to him. I don't care how sinful you have been. I don't care how evil you have been. I don't care how wicked you may have been. The Lord Jesus wants to save you. Now, folks, get the picture, will you? The disciples land the boat, and suddenly there's this figure comes out of the caves. He's naked. He's bleeding. He is foaming at the mouth. I want you to, are you there? Picture yourself there. See yourself right there in this scenario, and you're watching all this happen. While you're standing there watching, this fella starts coming towards you. Now, are you nervous? I don't think so, because Jesus is there. Oh, you know what Jesus can do, don't you? And this man's coming. He's running down the hill, running. And he comes right face to face with the Lord Jesus. And all of a sudden, that demon throws him to the ground. And the demon speaks out of his mouth. Don't send us to hell before our time. You see, they know what's coming. Oh yeah, they know what's coming. There's some hogs over there. To the Jews, hogs are unclean. Send us over into the hogs. So the Lord Jesus said, all right, go. And they went into the hogs. And then the hogs ran down the hill and drowned themselves. Smart hogs. You'd be better off running into the water with the devils after you than standing on a hillside eating grass. What a terrible thing happened here. But that's our Lord. Grace beyond measure. Grace beyond measure. See this man now. Here he comes. He's bleeding from where he's cut himself with the rocks. He's bleeding from where he's tried to pull those fetters off of his hands, his wrist. He is no doubt angry. And his face, his muscles are drawn. His teeth are snarled. I mean, he is just a sad sight to look at. But regardless of all that the man had done, regardless of all the sin, all the hatred that was in his heart, all of the abuse that he had poured out upon others, so much so that they had to cast him out. But yet the Lord Jesus was right there with him. And the Lord Jesus cast the demons out and redeemed his soul. My friend, if Jesus can save this man, don't you think he can save you as well? I don't know that anybody in this room has a record quite like this fella. Or I sure hope not. And if you do, don't tell me about it. All right? But there is someone that loves you and wants to save you. If you'll just trust him. Now, that's the sinner's privilege. We can come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, folks, listen. Let me close with this. This incident prompted two requests. Two requests. You say, well, what are those? All right, look first of all at verse 17. Look at verse 17. It says, and they that saw it told them how it befell to him that was possessed with the devil, and also concerning the swine. Now watch, verse 17. And they began to pray him to depart out of their coast. The people, the guys that came out of the city. Now you would think that they would say, wow, won't you come back to our town? Let us fix you dinner. Let us spend some time with you. We got some other folks that need taken care of too. But no, they run him off. And you'll notice, folks, look at verse 20. Look at verse 20. It says, and he, what? He's not going to stay where he's not wanted. He's not going to stay where he's not wanted. Have you ever asked the Lord Jesus to leave you alone? Hey, you're in church right now. The Holy Spirit of God wants you to trust the Lord Jesus. Hey, don't run him off. Don't tell him to leave. Don't be like these people. Depart, get away from me. No, open your heart's door and ask the Lord Jesus to come in. But then there was a second response. Look at verse 18. It says, and when he was come into the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with Jesus. In other words, he said, Jesus, this is awesome. Man, what you just did for me, I'm never going to get over this. And that's, by the way, you ought not ever get over getting saved. I'm never going to get over this. Let me go with you, Lord. But look at the Lord's response to this. Verse 19. Howbeit, Jesus suffered him not. Now, when the town folks told him to leave, he left. He obeyed their request. But notice in verse 19, when the maniac, the man who wore chains, now that he's free, he wants to hang around with Jesus. And Jesus says to him, well, let me ask you, read on, look here. He said, verse 19, go home. Why go home? That's where your family is. Your family needs to know the Lord Jesus as their Savior too. And he said, go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath had compassion on thee. So he said to the maniac, hey, listen, you can't go with me, but you can go home and you can tell your loved ones and your friends and your family how they can get saved as well. What a wonderful story this is. And doesn't it make just a world of sense? Doesn't it make just a world of sense that if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you can know the Lord in forgiveness and pardon of sin? Let's bow our heads, please. Our heads bowed, our eyes closed. No one looking around. Heavenly Father, thank you for your wonderful word. And Lord, I pray you'll bless this to our hearts this morning. Help each and every one of us to examine our hearts in the light of what we have heard from your word. And Father, we're grateful that we have a Savior who loves us. And regardless of how sinful we have been. And boy, we all have been sinful. But Father, I'm thankful the Lord Jesus saved me, forgave me of my sin. And I just pray now that there might be others sitting here who are not 100% sure they're saved and on their way to heaven, that today might be the day that they call upon the name of the Lord and trust Jesus as their Savior. So speak to our hearts, Father. Now, with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, my dear friend, listen, if you're here this morning and not 100% sure you're saved, you can know that you're saved. You say, well, I don't know right now. No, but the good news is, here's your privilege. You can know. There is a Savior who loves you. And he wants to save your never-dying soul. The Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For whosoever, that means you, shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, would you ask yourself this question, where am I going when I die? And if you're not 100% sure you're going to heaven, let me tell you something, folks. There's no better time than now for you to trust the Lord Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. If you're not sure you're saved, would you raise your hand right now and say, "Preacher, I'm not sure. Would you pray for me? I know I need the Lord as my Savior. Pray for me." Would you just slip your hand up where I can see it? You say, "Preacher, I'm just not 100% sure. Pray for me." Is there anybody like that this morning? Yes, thank you. God bless you. I see your hand. Thank you. You may put it down. Anybody else? "Pastor, pray for me. I'm just not sure." Anyone else? All right. Heavenly Father, I pray that you'll speak to our hearts now. There's no greater thing that a person can do than realize they need the Savior. Call upon the name of the Lord. So, Father, I pray you'll bless. I pray for this one hand that was raised. And, Father, just ask you to touch that heart today and draw that person to your side. Help them, Father, to see their need of trusting Jesus as their Savior before it's too late. So, Father, be with us now during the invitation. May the Lord be honored in what we do. In Jesus' name, amen.